Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Exactly. It's one of the coolest things to ever see, though, really, is watching how still and committed to playing possum they are.
Well, and that's true, because that's how they've survived all this time.
It's
true that there are some of us who would probably be better off if we were a little quieter and stiller at times. More could just go by. You know, we wouldn't necessarily be in the midst of everything so quickly.
The one in the courtyard here looked to be like it's the female. She's had a couple litters, and so when the little fuzzies come out, she'll come out. And so he didn't mess with her. He just went over there and was like, oh, goodness.
Who's here?
She was moving slow, too. So she's about ready to have another litter, I think.
Well, that's about that time.
Yeah.
On the text line this morning, good morning, Garden Mama, and good morning to you in the 662. I've got a question. I planted some evergreen trees a couple of weeks back. What can I feed them or do to make sure that they take good root? That's a real good question, because as we all know, when we transplant trees and shrubs especially, the first couple of years are the monitors. In other words, if things go well, then we've got them for a long, long life. If things don't go so well, we need to intervene so that we can have them for that long, long life. If you did not use either a root stimulator fertilizer or another form of a growth regulator solution, you might have used compost tea, you might use worm casting tea, you know, anything like that. If you didn't water them in with something like that, you can certainly consider doing that. You can also get whatever your fertilizer is that you use for other shrubs and trees and use a little bit of it now. Maybe if it mixes with water, that's fine. If it doesn't, you can still work it in around the bottom of the where you've planted, you know, and then go ahead and water them in real well. Mainly just keeping a little bit of fertilizer coming to those roots will help. I'm in favor of things like root stimulators and especially things like compost teas, because it just seems to do so much to develop that root zone right away. The worm castings, of course, are always a great idea. And indeed, I mix some of that into the soil as I'm planting because I want it to be there. I planted tomatoes this week and did that thing. I had some of my Costa Maine compost, which is such beautiful, beautiful stuff, by the way. If you're looking for a bad compost product, and I hope you are because it's a good one, I put that in along with the soil that I was mixing and blending, and it really turned out to be a pretty good one. They've settled in quite happily without any transplant shock, and that's, of course, what we're always looking for. So I would suggest, if you haven't done anything at all for them, root stimulator or worm casting tea or compost tea, something like that. You can even get a rooting hormone in a bottle and mix that up. That's fine too. It's a little more expensive, but it's just as effective. You can do that. And of course, make sure that you're keeping them mulched, that you're watering in dry spells. And what you're trying really hard to do is to not over fertilize with nitrogen for this first year. The nitrogen, of course, is what's going to be the first number on the fertilizer label. It's also going to tell you you're going to get more leafy growth, more top growth, and that's not what we want right now. Right now we're trying to get roots and shoots to go ahead and get started there and get the whole thing going. So I think that's what I would do. I appreciate that question, and I really do. It's really little rabbit manure with the soil as I planted them. Now, that's a good start. That's a real good start. Keep them watered, and you can certainly put in a little bit more if you need to. If you feel like it wasn't enough, then you probably wasn't. Oh, this is so pretty. Paula from Dentville has a lovely basket that she's putting together. I'm going to guess bubblegum petunias, but I don't know what the other one is. They're both lovely. And she's talking about putting something in the middle. What would you put in the middle of all of this? I tend to want to put a piece of art. I tend to want to pop something else up there. But if you want to plant, look for something that is going to be tall and that you can cut on when you need to, that will grow on its own without much concern, something like a coleus, because that will take up some space and go up, but it also won't spread out too terribly to get in the way of all of your friends there. How often on the fertilizer question? Actually, I would do it now, and then I would probably look to see how they're going. If we get 2 or 3 inches of rain in the next month, you'll need to do it again next month. But otherwise, you may not need to repeat that process until May. It's true, though. You don't know what's going to happen in the springtime, so we just have to wait and see. Ah, we have a wonderful Wonderful bit of insight into the possums for you, Lance.
Oh, yeah. Let's see what we got here.
That's a good one. Survival techniques. They have, as they say, 13 feeding stations. That's a kind way of saying mom becomes well-equipped in this case.
Right, yeah. Feeding stations. I haven't heard it put that way before.
I like that.
Yeah.
So the first 13 attach.
Yeah.
And after that, it's, you know, kind of not necessarily.
I had a lab that had 12 feeding stations. And,
well,
yeah, she had 13 puppies, too.
See, that's, it can be a problem.
Had to work with the run. Yeah, there was actually 14. Yeah. The lastest of the last was a stillborn, but she had 13 all live. And I had to work with a little runt, the 13th, because there was only 12 feeding stations.
See, and, that's what we're talking about here, and how the possums self-eliminate some of themselves.
So I guess.
That's an interesting thing. And here's, and I have to say this, because I'm such a fan too, having picked it myself and tortured Lance with it when we were doing the production. Good Saturday morning, y'all. I love hearing the wind chimes on Saturday morning. So thank you.
Oh, that was easy, man. We had a
just gave
me the game plan.
At the time, you didn't think so.
No, I was like, well, I can figure this out.
It went on for a while.
You made it so easy, though.
Well, I knew what I wanted to hear, and unfortunately, you really can't buy that wind chime anymore. So I had to go find it, and we found it, but we found hours and hours and hours of wind chimes. It's great.
And today is the day for the chime. It is gusting around.
Isn't it? It's beautiful. It really is. I've got some things I need to hang up because of that very thing. Paula says that it is bubblegum petunia. I'm getting pretty good at recognizing that one. And jazzberry. That's a really pretty petunia. I like the way that looks. Very attractive. As you're tuning in on supertalk.tv today, and hey, I'll wave everybody, hey. look, Iris is all over the place. Beautiful bearded Iris. Oh, my goodness. If you've had trouble with those, let me know. We can talk about that today. But you'll also see a funny little box with seedlings popping up in it. And I'm happy to tell you that those are my basils and my flowering tobacco that I've talked about being such a crazy plant that I like so much. So those are all getting ready to get transplanted today. I figured I should, in fact, well, it's not a kidnapping, but it is proof of life that I actually started the seeds and they worked. So, oh my goodness, what a beautiful cat on the supertalk.tv. That's lovely. Y'all have got some cool things. Y'all are always doing such cool things. Let's see, Kenneth in Starfield. Hey, I've just ordered two pawpaw trees. They are tiny root balls on sticks. Can I plant them, or should I keep them in pots for a year? I have an alternative. I would plant one, and I'd put the other one in a container and put it next to it until the fall and see which one does better. Now, if you don't want to do a science experiment, which I realize that's what that is, I would probably, if you've got a very little bit of root material on here, and since it is already the end of March, I would say in Starkville, solid zone 8, you still would want to keep them in containers and let them grow on, maybe in partial shade, not out in full sun. We're not trying to blast these things or make them grow necessarily. We're just trying to get them to root really well and then plant them in the fall. That would be my choice. But what wonderful, wonderful trees. I mentioned last week that folks are getting more interested in pawpaws again, and I'm very happy about that. I think that's terrific. Oh, what a good question. This is another from the 662 today. Something to put in the flower bed to add color until the roses come back in and fill out from being cut back. What would you suggest? Full day, full sunlight flower bed. Well, you've got a lot of choices, especially since you're going to prune those roses every year in February, and it's going to be this period of time. Why not fill that with space with something that's pretty in the early spring? So you could certainly go with, I mean, you could plant daffodils. You could plant grape hyacinth if you want something lower growing in terms of bulbs. But you could also fill that space with any of the ground covers, ajugas, or any of the others that bloom in the early spring to keep that place like a carpet and still let your roses have plenty of good air circulation around them to show off. I think that would be my approach anyway. I also have been known to drop a container of any sort of annuals or anything else into rose beds or into other flower beds where things were growing out, just because they can take advantage of the sun for that period of time. But a lot of folks will use daffodils and other bulbs in their rose beds because they're going to be a little bit more naked in the early spring, and you can enjoy both situations. When you look at the photos today, if you don't happen to be a newsletter subscriber, you will not have seen these. But if you are, you've already seen some of these. This was an answer to a question last week about to please send the details about some of the fruit tree advice that I had given. So I went ahead and turned that into the subject of this, the feature in this week's newsletter. So there's a bunch of pictures, Fuyu persimmons and you know, I don't know, LSU purple fig and some of the other things that we had talked about, but with a few more details about how to grow some of them. The other one that I'm suggesting, and I do this probably every year, if you don't know about loquat, if you don't know about Japanese plum, please find out about it. It's a very cool tree, very tropical texture, can grow solidly into zone 8, but it will actually make magnificent fruit just 8B and into 9. It's a wonderful, wonderful tree. And it's evergreen. It's also something that is, you'll see, this has so many names. It has a real rubbed, real rough leaf on it. It's even sometimes called an alligator tree. I've seen so many crazy names for it. But it's a worldwide sensation in the subtropics and tropics. So that's the, if you haven't run into it, there are a bunch of them outside of the building where the radio station is in Jackson. And some years they can make fruit. Some years they're the season goes long enough. I think this year it will because it got warm so early. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Top of the news today in the garden world, these are one of those things where you have to say, well, what do you think? Is this okay? And I tend to think this is very okay. Scientists at the University of Oxford have been looking into the colony collapse disorders and other problems with our beehives that we've been talking about now for several years. In controlled trials, what they found was that they were not able to get the right food, that the bees and the ones they were in the particular study that they were doing needed things that they were not getting. So what they worked on, and here's where it gets a little odd, because you don't know how you feel about things being engineered to take care of another problem. I'm kind of in favor of it. You know, I like modern medicine. I like modern horticulture. But you may not, and I understand it. I'm not disrespecting your opinion. I'm just saying it's something to think about. But what they found was that the nutrients that are normally found in pollen were absent. So they set about to reconstruct those, to redevelop them and to make them available. And what they found out was with this specially designed diet, they were able to produce 15 times more young in the beehive. Well, this is a big development because, as we all know, we've been researching these things for years now, and different situations develop in different places. Some of them, of course, have been environmental losses. Some of them have been as simple as terrible temperature changes. Things got hotter for a period of time longer than the bees could tolerate. I mean, there's all sorts of things. But there's also been these issues around nutrition and fungus and other problems that can become issues for them. So I'm happy to see that this particular one is becoming an absolutely real thing. We're discovering more species all the time. We're also losing species. We certainly don't want to lose our bees. As everybody knows, without bees, we have very few seeds, and without seeds, well, we may not have as many of you and me as we would like to have. So check that one out when you get a chance to. It's real important. I've got another crazy one in that regard, but I will save that for later in the show today. We hardly ever study Chernobyl here in the horticulture world, but we need to today. So we'll get into some of that. Well. I have good news for you. If you're enjoying your day today, I hope that you'll get yourself out to the Clinton Community Nature Center in Clinton for their plant sale this morning. And, of course, at 9 o'clock starts up the Eudora Welty sale in Jackson at the Eudora Welty House. Keeping those things on a long list that we've got going on, we continue to give those to you. Get out and go to the plant sales. But guess what else? put the garden center on your list of stops. You know you're going to stop at the grocery. You know you're going to stop and put gas in the car. You know you're going to stop and do this or do that. Stop by the garden center. Let something grab you. It'll make you feel better. Make them feel better, too, but mostly it'll make you feel better to take home a new plant.
That, and they always have great food in the freezers.
Well, there you go.
That's always the landing part of this.
This is very true. You get make lots of friends.
You know? Hey, the corn that I got at Doris Berry last time, that's probably the most delicious corn.
Good.
It's amazing. It is.
Good.
So, yeah, like, personally, I love going in those places and looking at some of the jams and jellies and foods have from the local folks, because it's delicious.
Well, and that's where you're going to find, you know, my favorite, the Mayhaw and stuff. Who's got tomatoes already? Is that Mark? I'm having a hissy fit. He's already got cherry tomatoes on this plant that I'm looking at supertalk.tv. He's at work. I can't ask him. We'll see him next week. Oh, my goodness. Well, here it comes. We knew it would happen. It's every year. Jamie from Oxford, we're all in your corner. We appreciate your stress, your struggles. I have 2 of 8 crepe myrtles are all black, which I think may be a fungus. Yes, part of it is. I've treated with an antifungal spray. Will they come back? Here's the question. We have to take a little bit more serious diagnosis. If it's just black on the leaves, you're spraying for the sooty mold that is there, but that's not going to control the insect that causes it. If the branches, if the trunks themselves are blackened, that's a different problem. That's crepe myrtle bark scale. It's another insect, though. So, again, the fungus spray may make a dent in the fungus itself that's growing there, but it doesn't address the underlying problem. Crepe myrtles and a lot of other plants, unfortunately, will get this material on their leaves that you can actually rub off with your fingers called sooty mold. Hate to tell you, but sooty mold is out here all the time. Where it falls onto leaves that are vulnerable, that's because they've been pierced and sucked, they're going to get it. So we'll talk about that. How'd you know I was listening to Delaney and Bonnie this morning?
Yeah, great minds think alike.
This is the Garden Mama Show, and I'm not even in the same state with you today. We'll be right back.
Are you thinking about retirement, or are you recently retired? Do you have a plan, or do you have a drawer full of statements? If your answer is the latter, then you're not retirement planning, you're retirement hoping. Risks and inflation are rising, and planning is critical now. At Element Wealth, our exclusive 360 process can create a strategy to help protect what you've worked so hard to build while still providing growth. To start the conversation, visit myelementwealth.com or call 601-957-6006. 601-957-6006.
State Treasurer David McRae has returned more unclaimed money and delivered more college and career savings to Mississippians than ever before. He's done it by making the state's education savings programs more flexible, benefiting students and teachers at virtually all schools, private or public, vocational or technical. He's making college and career savings and getting unclaimed money easier than ever. Don't let another day go by without claiming your cash or jumpstarting a career. Treasury.ms.gov.
These guys are hard to resist, too.
Yeah, you shared me a nice one in the break. I appreciate it. That's good stuff.
You know, I recognize that on December 10th of 1969, you were but a gleam in your mother's heart.
Yeah.
But I was a freshman in college. So, well, actually, I was past that. But anyway, point being, new records came out, and it was the whole world to us. We were in such a tiny little bubble, you know, that when Delaney and Bonnie released a new album, and then we could late at night stay up and see them from Copenhagen, you know, on somebody's 6 weeks later on some show, you know, it was a very nothing like now. Oh, always. Yeah. Nothing like now. Nothing like, you know, modern stuff. But in that same era, of course, we got to see the tours of all the Stax greats when they went to Europe. And so there was a whole lot of that back and forth in the musical culture. Everybody thinks about, you know, everybody thinks about the Rolling Stones coming over here and going to the Mississippi Delta, and we're so glad they did because it made them a lot better musicians and a lot smarter. But a lot of our folks went to Europe, too, and grabbed hold of some things there and made a big impact on the music scene that we're still enjoying today.
You get over that pond and show off a little bit. I know that the blues guys here,
absolutely.
And even in Japan, I know they have they love the blues. And
absolutely.
So it's a great thing to share. You know, I love sharing culture. When you really can have an opportunity to appreciate it, not judge it.
Well, sure, just absorb it, you know, say, well, what is this? Learn something new. And we can learn something from everybody's music. I probably played too many, I played flute for a long time as a kid, so I probably have a little bit too much German opera in me. Sorry to my friends who are big fans.
You and Mary together.
But it's really not my thing, and it is hers. I get that. I'm apologizing in advance. But everybody has to find their niche, and if you don't listen to a lot of it, you don't know what your niche is. So it's like reading poetry. If you don't read a bunch of poetry, you may think you don't like any of it, or you may think you like all of it. Trust me, neither of those things are true.
I'm a big fan of the Tibetan horns.
Oh, there you go. I can see that. Yep.
Anytime you just want to space out for a second and turn that on, and they get the chants going and the horns. Oh, that's so great.
It's a
mood
setter.
Looking out over this huge mountain with all these beautiful, you know, colors that adorn their monasteries. It's really cool.
Well, and it's of course intended to not only give you peace but also expand your mind. It's like when you walk up to a pond that's been well planted, and the area around it, there will always be a tree or a couple pieces of art or something that lead your eye up from the water to the sky. And that's exactly what that music is intended to do, is to lift your heart from wherever it might be to a higher level and make you think better thoughts, make you think, you know, more positive things about yourself and the world around you. Because there's a lot of positivity here. Trust me, we're lucky. We're very, very lucky.
I was hoping it would take me to, like, inner Earth, you know. Check all of that out.
Well,
I'm going to see the fauna there.
I hesitate to tell you that we do have some discoveries that you may want to go and look at that we've just found. Back to crepe myrtles, though, for a moment, because I wanted to finish up for Jamie. Jamie, when you got the blaze, he wrote me another note, you got black trunks. And when you have that, it's telling you that the crepe myrtle bark scale has gotten hold of those trees. So I'm sending you an article from MSUcares.com. Everybody can go look it up. It's one of their publications to tell you what you're facing and what you're looking at. Now, when you look at that stuff, now I'm going to tell you, now I'm going to tell you what I think. If these are prized crepe myrtles that your family has had for years or that you planted yourself or that you have some great attachment to, think about saving them. On the other hand, if they're just some trees that you don't really have that much to say about, and you look at how much it's going to take to maintain them or to get them back into shape, because it's a lot of insecticiding, it's a lot of care, it's a lot of attention for a couple of years really to get them back into full tilt, you know? So if you don't want to do that, you have my permission to replace them with something else. Some people will go along and just simply cut them off low and make them into bushes and shrubs and see whether or not that works. I didn't like that, but I recognize that it's a cheaper, easier alternative. And sometimes they will blow up into nice balls of crepe myrtle, and that's okay. But the crepe myrtle bark scale is a very devastating insect. After those trunks get black from the scale living there, you will also find that it eventually erupts with white around the edges of the black stuff. That's the multiplication of the scale, and that's a really bad sign, the first of all. Second of all, if that's not the problem, if it's just on the leaves, which it's not in this case, but for those of you who are encountering this, somebody out there's got this one. If it's just on the leaves, that sooty mold, it's probably aphids in the top of the tree, okay? Because they fly in the springtime. They got to have something to eat. They pierce and suck. And when they do that, what they cannot digest, they excrete. That becomes the sugar strata on top of your leaves, and the sooty mold lands there and grows very happily. Not to my happiness, but to its happiness. So those are the things you have to consider and take care of. But anyway, I'm going to send that article to Jamie in Oxford so he'll know a little bit more about what the professionals think about it, and now you also know what I think about it. Yes, I'm a professional. I've been at this for a while. But because I am devoted to sustainable gardening and to because I want you to enjoy gardening, I don't want this to be this. To me, the chore list for gardening should actually be a lighthearted look at what's going on. The chore list for my real life is a different list. Very different list. Oh, Greg, yay. You know, we've been keeping up. This is the tap your fingers. How cold is it in Vaughn? How are Greg's blueberries doing? They look great. Oh, that's pretty. That's really good. Wasn't as bad as he thought. This week, with more warm weather, some new blooms came out, got lots of bees all over them, and they are beautiful. So I think you're right. I think you're going to get some berries. Thank you. That's fun. It's an interesting choice. I'm looking at Marshall's choice of insecticides. I have to disagree with the way that particular thing works, but if it works where you are, that's fine. I'm not going to suggest it because it doesn't fit into my science, not fit into what I know, but I don't know everything. So that's for true. Yes, Thomas, you're absolutely right. Lance is always working. Thank you for acknowledging that. I've said this a couple of times. Well, I may not have said it here. The producer's job is to keep me from looking stupid. So
you make my job really easy then.
Not always. Oh, my goodness.
I think that my job is predominantly to make sure I don't look stupid, you know, compared to the talented people that I work with.
So. It's absolutely true, y'all. It is not an art that everyone can learn to do. There's a whole lot of technology and science in it, but there's also a whole lot of putting up with hosts like me.
Getting to know you guys is the actual treat. You know, the hard part's when you start and you don't really know the ebb and flow of things.
What in the world are they talking about?
Just sit back and shut up for a minute. You know?
See, then you begin to feel like, oh, it's Barnum and Bailey Day, which it is today.
You never know.
You know, because you never know what's going to happen next. You know, here we go. Here we go. The whole thing, I have a position about circuses, and it is not what you might expect. I'm glad for the fact that we decided we needed to pay attention to animals that were not in our immediate purview. The way we did it, however, has not always been great. I really do understand that, for example, when I was a little kid, they took me to the fair and I got to see the bearded lady and I wanted to be her. I know that sounds funny, but I just wanted to be her. And then I found out you had to be able to grow a beard in order to do that. It's like, well, it didn't work. I didn't get enough hair to do that. But there's just something about the unusual and the what you wouldn't necessarily see on a given day. That the whole Barnum and Bailey and circuses and sideshows and that kind of stuff have put in our faces. Some of it, as I say, certainly they could have done better by the elephants and things like that. But on the other hand, we know things that we didn't know, and a lot of research programs have come about to help particularly some endangered species along the way. So it is Barnum and Bailey Day, and Barnum and Bailey. Of course, the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus made for the longest banners that were ever generated at that time. This whole thing started in 1919 when they merged, because they were both around before that.
always, you know, there's always the negative to that, but the positive is that millions upon millions of people that never would have had an opportunity to see that in those types of performances, not just that, but the animals and the different things and expansion of your horizons.
The people flying on trapezes and people, you know, I mean, there was just things that you weren't going to see in your everyday life. They expand your brain a little bit, you know. So that's it's a thing. But they certainly had I don't know what the people's motivation was, but obviously it didn't do well enough alone, so they had to merge. So that's when they turned into the biggest show on earth, I think. And that's what we all got a chance to experience along the way. When can I sow zinnia seeds? You're in the 601, I'd say today. What you're looking for, of course, is soil that has warmed up a little bit and seeds that are viable. I'm in the process. I'll be mailing out some more seeds next week. If you're interested in some of mine, I am sending landscape coreopsis and I'm sending profusion zinnias as long as they last, because that one's an expensive seed, but it's worth it because I want y'all to all have it. These are what I call, this is not the name of them. This is what I call bubble zinnias. I love narrow-leaf zinnias because they're able to tolerate heat and humidity very, very well. These are not cut flowers. This is not that class. But they are beautiful lumps of color. And I can tell you for a fact that even Lance can grow them. So I know that you will be able to.
I'm not an advanced gardener.
Well, you pay attention and you knew not to let them melt or you know, not be, you know, melt in a rainstorm, and you knew all that sort of stuff that's basic with zinnias. We don't over-fertilize them. We don't really give them a whole lot of care. We just make sure they come up and then don't let them dry out before they can bloom. So these are ones that are about 12 inches tall and literally form a bubble of flowers on the edge of your flower bed. They could be an edging plant. They could be in a container. They could just be a lump of color in the midst of a bunch of other colors. You know, they're very happy to get along with other plants, but they're beautiful in a group going down a row. They're just particularly lovely. So I'm sowing some, and I think you should too. You know. Let's see. Oh, fun! Another question you probably don't get very often. I'd like to put some type of paddle cactus on the end of my flower bed. Good choice. Mammillaria, beautiful things. Paddle cactus, get the native. It's a brilliant, brilliant, beautiful one. It will bloom yellow, there's only one cactus that is native to the southeast, and this particular cactus is easy to grow and will take that space. Just be sure you give it enough space. One of the most impressive flower beds I ever saw in my life, and I never got to go see the person who did it. It's probably still there. But in my travels through the Mississippi Delta, I got to see this flower bed that had a really, really magnificent, what are called paddle cactus on the one end. Prickly pear is the other name for it. And on the other end of the bed was the blue agave. And that was, I don't even know what was in the middle of this flower bed. These two things were so dramatic that that was what you saw when you drove by. It was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So think about that. But there's not a variety, but there is prickly pear, and it is a native southeastern cactus. It's not hard to find. If you know anybody that has one, they'd be happy to break you off a piece and get started that way. That's fun. Aw, y'all are so sweet. Y'all are sweet to me, but you're also sweet to Lance. Thank you for that. Also, I've still got peaches from last year, and I started making dump cakes. Oh, fun. Now, for those of you who don't know, a dump cake is literally the answer to baking trauma. If you're a person who has read too many things and it tells you that you have to weigh the flour and you have to be sure what size eggs you're using and you have to make sure that your baking powder is fresh and all of those kinds of things that they will tell you, I think that's all to get you to not make the cake. So dump cakes basically were invented along with big mixers, you know, the mixers that have a nice large bowl to them. So you literally throw everything in, spin it around a bunch of times, maybe 2 minutes or so, longer than you would think, and put it in the oven and bake it. So it's a great thing. She's this particular person, male or female, is also working on blueberry and apple. I think I might do this. Well, we would shout, but then it might bother your eggs. We'll be right back. Oh, what joy!
for every girl and boy, knowing they're happy and they're safe. We would be so happy, you and me. No one there to tell us what to do. I'd like to be under the sea.
Here's Sammy the Shovel here to tell you to call before you dig.
A lot of homeowners are working hard to create a loving home. Whether it's expanding that crowded deck, maybe a swimming pool, good times start with these additions. And that's why we respectfully ask you to first call 811 and have your utilities properly marked before you dig. It saves you from injury and expense. It's the law, and it's just the right thing to do. So call 811 before you dig. Remember us for your next project. Just call 811.
Ever imagine one company could transform how you live and work? With CSpire, you're connected with advanced technology that enhances everything you do. How you order your morning coffee.
Order my usual.
How you secure your company's data. Even how you turn your backyard into your personal movie theater.
Start movie night.
Own your day on the network for connected living. There's more to see. CSpire. Customer inspired.
The best made-to-order lunch.
Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.
Oh, yes, it has. But we're not there anymore. We're here. It's spring. I don't tell this story. And I've known this for a long time, but I haven't thought to tell it to y'all. Y'all know that Ringo Starr has always been my favorite Beatle, and there's no reason for that except that that's who I decided I liked. So I studied him and learned a little bit more about him than I did about the others at the very beginning of time. And he was a little bit older and had already been a professional musician for a time, so he did have some experience on the other guys that benefited all of them, I think. Not Pete Best. He was the drummer before they replaced him with Ringo. But anyway, that's another story. The thing about Ringo, though, is that we hear all the time about you. Well, we don't hear it all the time anymore because we've done such a better job about it. But at that time, and you still have to pay attention to things like tuberculosis. He was a person who had tuberculosis as a child, and as a result, was in a hospital sanitarium kind of place for a couple of years. That's where he took up the drums. Okay? Now, he could have sat and stared out the window. He could have refused to, he could have become a poet. He could have refused to do anything, you know, or he could have done whatever. But he took up the drums. So what I'm saying is, when adversity hits, the people who actually make it through the world, I believe, are the ones who figure out what it is they can do and take action and do it. We don't have to feel, you know, the tomato may not be growing like I want it to. Probably I can do something about that. But even if I can't, I can at least handle it a little better than I might, rather than just get angry at it and walk away. My same neighbor that I've told y'all I looked over the fence at for a long time and watched as her beds drowned in the spring rains, eventually said to me, well, I guess I just can't do this. And I said, well, sure you can. You just need to do it different. Well, she was insulted and didn't talk to me for about a month. But, you know, it was true. It's still true.
You got over it.
It's still true. Anyway, good question from David in Oak Grove. Hope y'all are well over there today. Freeze frost a couple of weeks ago killed the new growth on my fig trees. Will the trees be able to produce figs later this year? Well, if I had a crystal ball, even if I looked into it, I probably would not be able to tell, because some figs are capable of that second crop on new growth, and some are actually not. Some have to get on the growth from the pruning in the fall, in the winter rather. That brand new growth that just froze at your place is their only shot. Most of the time, the figs that we grow in zone 8 where you are, tend to be ones that have the potential to make a June crop and a September or late August crop too. So you just have to wait and see. Take care of them. They certainly are not going to, it's not going to affect the trees in the long run. But in the short run, you may or may not get fruit this next time. And I hope you do. Let me know. I'd like to find out too. So.
What is the time frame? But if you start a fig tree fairly young, you don't like inherit a something fairly mature like a.
You mean if I give you a cutting off the one I just pruned?
Yeah, right. Because I need to start over again. My dog ate the previous one. It was fairly mature. It had been in a very, I would say, had a canopy over it with growth, and it didn't get a lot of sunlight.
It's a limited situation.
Yeah, when I took it over, it was root bound a bit, and man, it started really looking good. And Hawk, at about a year old, thought that was a delicious piece of wood to work on. And so I would always wanted to get another one, but I don't really want to start with an older tree like that. I'd like to start with something I could watch grow. What is the process and time frame from going to a clipping to something you can look at and go, oh, okay, that looks good. It's moving along.
One of the reasons why we buy the one in the, say, 5-gallon can that's 4 feet tall is because then it'll probably be making figs within 2 years. But it's going to, from a cutting, from a little bitty fig to fruit producing, is probably going to take 3 to 5 years, and more likely 5. So if you get that one that's a little bit bigger, you can narrow that down and push it a little bit and get it within 4 or 5 years.
Better success rate with the little more mature if you don't know what you're doing? Kind of like me,
in some ways, yes, because the tree has made it that far. Now, I will tell you that some of the best figs I've ever grown were just the cuttings off of a tree that I was pruning. Stick them into some dirt, and the next thing you know, they've sprouted, and you dig them up and give them to somebody. So if there's anybody out there doing that would like to root a fig for Lance that has some stuck in the ground, let us know.
My mamaw had 2 or 3 bushes that were very
pretty,
mature.
And they're pretty, too.
I loved
nice
them. I wasn't a big fig kid. It just sounded weird. And then you had fig Newtons and all that, but she had fig preserves, and she would pull all that stuff off those bushes, and there was ample to, give away to everybody on the sign.
More people than wanted them. Yes.
But, and it was really good stuff, and I always thought about I was hoping that one would do that. But
here's the thing. My family made fig preserves, and they made my teeth hurt. They were so sweet. So I was really not a big fig person, and I wrote this in the newsletter this week, until I was a grown-up and somebody gave me fresh figs, and I went, oh, now I see what y'all are talking about.
That's my life right there. Yeah.
So I really do prefer them, and I've had fig ice cream. I've had several different things made with figs that were sweet, but they just weren't as sweet as that fig preserve where the whole fig is in the jar,
And
I remember. They take it and stuff it into the biscuit, and it literally would make my teeth hurt. It was too sweet.
I just didn't know how good I had it.
Well, no, we were spoiled, We all had grandmas. You and I had grandmas that did all that.
So. Yeah, I had one that knew. I had one that was an expert with gumbo, and that was about it. And then the other was could do everything.
Thing.
Yeah, so it was, I had both sides of it covered.
Oh, here's a good note from Joe in the Kill. Appreciate you. Dun, dun, dun. Coggin grass is up. It's blooming. We talk about this all the time. Get the heads off of the things that are blooming that you don't want any more of before the seeds have the opportunity to get out there. Could be the clover in your lawn. Could be, the coggin grass coming up in the ditch. Could be any number of things. But he's absolutely right. Found along right of ways. Coggin grass does take over a lot in what are called disturbed soils. That is to say, where we've cut a road or where we have dug a ditch or any thing like that, so that the native soil is just ripe for their invasion. And unfortunately, it's almost impossible to kill. And as he says, I don't know this one. I knew it was introduced as packing material, and that's how it got here. Unfortunately, they sent some seeds with it. This is, again, no knock on Mobile. We love y'all. But fire ants and coggin grass both came through that port. Whew! My goodness. Any rate, you can't set fire to it because it takes 850, 900 degrees to burn the stuff, so that's not going to work. We used to think Johnson grass was a big problem, and it is, but compared to coggin grass, it's not near what it could be. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate you bringing that up, because people do really need to get all of that, they need to get all that stuff out if they possibly can. Andrea says that her plant is not happy. It's because your plant needs to go outside. I have one that looks almost just like this.
I have one in the house, same way.
It's actually something in the elephant ear, that category. And cut the yellow leaves off, fertilize it, and take it outside. It'll be happy. It needs more humidity, and it needs. But what happens is the environment's warm in the winter, but it's dry. And then as soon as the weather changes and we turn on the air conditioner, it's cool, but it's dry. So indoors, that's not the environment. Either one of those are not the environment for this particular plant. And with that, we're going to let Stevie Wonder take us out of here. You know, one of the things we always think about is, what was the greatest concert you ever heard, ever saw, ever went to? When I saw him, is on my top three, I'll tell you what. Oh, my goodness. But there's always more concerts to come. You never know. Could add to that. Hey, now, we got a long way to go. Lots of things to talk about. This is the Garden Mama Show.
Everybody's got a thing, but some don't know how to handle it. Always reaching out in vain, just thinking that things not worth having. But don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, mama.
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive safely.
Got him. Took him out of my mom's purse.
No way. Let's do it. Gotta tie my shoe. Be right there.
Don't do it.
Whoa. You are?
I'm you many years from now.
Sure, old man.
Start smoking today and tomorrow you're hooked. You miss out on a scholarship, your girl leaves you, and you waste thousands on an addiction. It's not worth it. Not at all.
Okay, then.
Okay, then.
What would you say to yourself the day you started smoking? Get free help at nevertoolatetoquit.com.
We've sent that rip.
Anyway, the first pianos only had 54 keys. I'm awfully glad we went to 88. That's, you know, that's wonderful. So it's piano day. If you want to think about it, you want to go get one, you ought to do that. You ought to do that.
I'm going to get me like an 80s, you know, synthesizer.
Oh, now Moog synthesizer, that's a whole other thing. Yeah, Casio, yes. Get you a synthesizer and a Fender Rhodes electric piano.
Yes.
You can go on tour.
Need a stand. Be ready to roll. Do some. Yeah, you know, I'd be playing Weird Al Yankovic in about 5 seconds.
All day long. This is great. From Drew in the 662, four-year-old hydrangea has not bloomed. There's two reasons for that. One, it's in too much shade. If you planted it directly under something that has leaves on it all the time, it may not be getting enough sun. If the leaves are really happy and healthy, that's quite possibly the problem. On the other hand, it may be as simple as you've been pruning it at the wrong time. So when we're talking about the hydrangeas that traditionally have big, round flower heads on them, the French hydrangeas or big leaf hydrangeas, we don't want to prune those at all, really. And if you want to take the flowers off to let them dry after they bloom, you can do that. If one side of the bush gets bigger than the other, you do all that. But you do all of that pruning right after the flowers appear. So my suggestion would be, if it's growing in the right place and still hasn't bloomed and you haven't pruned it recently, fertilize it. And it probably won't produce flowers right now, but it will be to its benefit down the road. It's a four-year-old hydrangea should be in flower. So I'm with you. Let's make them bloom. Let's make that thing bloom. And yes, on the sidebar here, we're having an opportunity to get you a fig tree. So that's nice. Yeah, so that's nice.
Awesome. Well, yeah. We do have a phone call from Miss Anna up in Oxford, Mississippi.
How are things in Oxford?
Oh, well. All the stuff on my lawn will be there tomorrow. So what can I say? You were talking about figs.
Yes.
And I had a fig tree, and it was really wonderful. I mean, it took a couple of years. It grew tall, and I was had enough figs to be giving to my friends and everything else. And then we had a major rainstorm, and I guess it got very cool or something happened, and it died.
Mm-hmm.
So then a couple of years ago, I picked up or bought a dwarf fig. I can't tell you what type because I can't remember. But this year, it's got, and it's in a pot, so I can move
it. Yes, yes.
This year, it's got like five little figs on it.
That's great. It should. The dwarf figs are very well containerized for years. You shouldn't have any problem doing that.
Well, it's meant to be a dwarf, so I'm hoping that it'll go inside and we'll have figs every year. But it's got a lot of shoots coming out. No, it was one I guess piece of a fig, but now it's got many pieces of a fig. So the plant and. I don't know. It's the other fig. A long time ago, I planted two fig trees, and one in a place where it would get sunshine during the day, and then as the sun came around, the house would shade it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was stuck in another corner. Well, that one's still alive. It never died.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why the first one.
Just
died,
a little bit of protection. They're fickle to cold winds. And certainly soil dries out faster in an exposed location. So I think that may be part of it.
Well, the second one never produced, but it's still alive and it's giving up shoots. So I'm, I'm always hopeful.
They're pretty trees too, so that's nice. I'm surprised you haven't gotten some fruit at least, but there you have it.
On that one, we're talking, at least 15 years ago when I put the original ones in.
You're such a patient person, Anna. Most people would have gone in and chopped that thing in half by now just to see what it would do.
Well, my neighbor, she's put one in. She's gotten figs, but she's, I think she got it from somewhere else, a parent or something like that. But I guess we're in competition. But
I like it.
Asparagus is up.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
So it should be.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, well, we've had fresh asparagus. Unfortunately, the first time I picked them, and some of them were quite nice, we had that quick frost.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember. Just recently, we had a quick frost.
Yes,
which
yes.
Which did, well, it froze the asparagus, and they all sort of looped. And it also, my lovely paper bush, which was doing wonderful, it got hit by the quick
setback.
Frost.
Yeah,
I don't
Again,
know.
It's not. It's not going to hurt the plants. It's not going to hurt that tree or that shrub. But it certainly makes for an unpleasant morning when you go out and see all that.
Yes. So it's all the vagaries of trying to do gardening in Mississippi.
It's true, and really, every gardener has had these challenges throughout history. We're all looking at a different. The world is different every day just a little bit. The seasons don't change as quickly, or they do change faster. There's all sorts of things that can affect the plants. We're just so lucky that so many of them soldier on anyway,
My mother was very clever. She, like you said, you cut it off and stick it in the dirt, and it grows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, she could do that.
Yeah.
She actually also got a peach tree to grow in England. And it grew, and she actually got a peach out of it. I don't know how long it lasted, because I wasn't there.
We human beings are amazing, and sometimes our plants respond. A lot of the times.
And I think gardening is passed down from parent to child.
Sometimes it skips a generation, but yes, in general. It's also true that if you're not... You don't have to be old, but if you're not of a certain age, none of it really makes any difference to you, I don't think. Or, like my son, you were forced to mow yards to get, gas money, and so as a result, he never wants to do that again in his life. Some of us waltz in and some of us waltz out, depending on how it goes.
Well, my son in Chicago is following through, and he has started, I think he said, 20 tomato plants in seed plots.
Ooh, that's wonderful. That's a and big job in Chicago. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, well, they're in little pots right now. And I guess he hasn't put them out yet, but he apparently feeds the whole neighborhood. That's what I heard.
That's fun. I love that. Thank you for getting in touch today. I hope you have a beautiful week. Thank you, dear heart. Anna from Oxford keeps us up with what's going on in that world. And, yes, they are still cleaning up from the winter. It's not – if you're in that situation, you are not alone. Trust me. It was a lot to do, and there's still a lot to do, sad to say. Let's see. Mike in Madison County, fig tree leafed out. The freeze destroyed everything that was green. Was that it, or do we still have a chance? Well, Mike, it's a question of that particular tree. Some of them have the capacity to go ahead and put on a second crop for the fall. And, in fact, some trees, when they are hit like that, don't even try for the spring crop. They just move right on and do the fall crop. It depends on the variety of fig and also the other growing conditions and kind of how old it is and that sort of stuff. But the point is, take off whatever's dead. Don't do any other pruning to it. And make sure you don't let it dry out. You know, I always say there's an exception to every quote-unquote rule in gardening. My rule is no more than 2 inches of mulch on anything. Okay, except figs. You can put 3 inches or leaving them a little bit more around the base of them if it's necessary to keep that soil at a consistent moisture period. Because that's another thing that very much helps them. Very much helps them. That's nice. But it's good to know that we're all having the same fig world. Yes, the person who just sent me a note, that is LSU purple fig. And no, I don't have O'Rourke. I wish I did. If you happen to be the owner of an O'Rourke fig and you want to root me a cutting, I'll be happy to take that. we'll get all of those done at some point. All right, Lance, what are you having for lunch today? Today is Eat Something on a Stick Day.
I'm on the phone with Jim right now in SoSo, getting him lined up for a phone call with you.
Good.
So give me just a second.
Sure. Last week was, of course, Corn Dog Day. And so today we've got caramel apples and cotton candy and, yeah, shish kebab. And our friends, the fried candy bars that we talked about from Texas. But I got to say that if you ask me, I don't know, do I have to do a sweet or a sour? I mean, a sweet or tart? Can I have both? What are you going to eat on sticks today? That's a good thing to do. A lot of people will do that, of course, and they'll take skewers, and they'll forget to soak them before they try to cook on the skewer. That's never a good idea. Not only does it mess up the skewer, but it also doesn't do as effective at a cook. So you need the stick to be able to absorb some water in there. So that works out better. Flat skewers are a good choice a lot of times because they don't spin around if you've got them on the grill or, you know, on the stove somewhere. And yeah, you kind of do have to cook some things sooner than others and then put them on the kebab. You can't, if you're putting cherry tomatoes on there with chunks of beef, you're going to end up with really unpleasant situations. The beef won't cook before the cherries fall off. So if you've never done that, don't. But I will tell you what goes well together is garlic that you have just barely blanched in the microwave with the tomatoes. Those two things will absolutely cook at the same rate very quickly, and it'll be absolutely delicious for you.
Well, I'm sorry I missed this conversation, but Jim and I were having a good one. And I do have Jim on the phone from SoSo.
Hey, well, good.
And he had a comment about a 40-foot mimosa tree.
Oh, my goodness.
As it had started, and it just took off. So, Jim, you're on air now.
Welcome in, Jim.
Okay, good morning, Garden Mama. I was talking to Lance. My daughter has a tree. It's a mimosa tree growing here in her yard. It's about 40 foot tall. It's got limbs going everywhere, and the limbs are 8 to 10 inches around.
Wow.
And it's coming out good. But they got these old what we call carrots at the base of it. And every mimosa tree I had in my yard, the sugar eggs get on it and kill it.
Yeah. It's not a good sign.
Pardon?
It's not a good sign. Ask her to take a picture of it and send it to me. There's an article that I can't think of right now that helps to address that sort of stuff. But send it to mamaonair@yahoo.com, and I'll be able to take a look at it this week and get her some more information.
Small one of them, right? Mm-hmm. That's in small letters?
All in small letters, yes.
All right.
Okay, because it is a problem.
Air.
You know, we've had...
Not just mamaonair@yahoo.com. Mamaonair@yahoo.com.
Okay. All right. Get her to sit
down. And I love your music you were playing, Monica.
Thank you. You're so sweet. Appreciate you. Take Care of Things in So-So. You know, that's one of the best songs ever written about So-So, Mississippi.
Well, we were just talking about the relation of people down there, too. So, yeah.
Yep, that's
catching
true.
Up.
That's very true. Very true. Big
one
family.
More quick question. I'll let
yes,
you.
Sir.
Mm-hmm. I have not had no luck on setting out tomatoes. Everything gets about like a golf ball, and that's it. What's the best tomato I can plant?
That's such a hard question. I think the easiest ones to grow are cherry tomatoes. But if I was going to plant just one tomato in a container and put a little attention to it, I would get Celebrity. It only gets to be 4 feet tall, and it makes fruit, and it's easy to grow. That would be my choice.
These last two I planted were Better Boy and Big Boy, and they got about 8 foot tall, and all little bitty tomatoes look like golf balls.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's too much. I can tell you that's too much nitrogen fertilizer. So go easy on your fertilizer this year.
All righty. Well, thank you very much. God bless you. Have a great day.
Take care of yourself. It's like... That's right. Share your plants and you got friends for life. You're absolutely right, Marshall. Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That. And you know, when you call in and we get to visit for a minute, same way. I mean,
it's just
Jim's a great guy. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Love getting to visit with y'all. Thank you for your generosity.
I have one more food on a stick that, you know, there's always something I never heard of because I certainly don't know. I don't even know close to everything, much less everything about food. But in the state's fair specialties category, I want to know which one this is sold at. These are called, they're on a stick, all right, and they're in the same thing as like fried pickles, you know, and fried candy bars and those kind of things that people do at state fairs. I get that. But this is Soul Sickles. It's fried chicken on a stick with candied yam sauce.
What?
In the deep fryer.
It's got to be in the South somewhere.
Someplace? Yeah. Why have I not heard of this?
Now, I heard Ohio puts on a heck of a fair. I think it was Ohio. So I'm not sure, but that sounds Southern right there.
It does, doesn't it? I know Texas does, too. Let's see. Oh, this is a good question from Lexa. Just a few hibiscus plants for several years, and they've gotten leggy from being inside for a couple of winters. Last summer when I put them out, they never bloomed. Here's my favorite. This, you got my heart on this one. I've Googled and I get a million different answers. That's so true. That is so true. Oh, my goodness. Do I cut them down? How do I make them happy? Okay, here's the deal. You look at where the thin shoots are, and if the branches can't support themselves, you cut them back to that point. So you may be cutting back 2 inches. You may be cutting back 6 inches. But at that point, you're giving what happens on a stem. Anything that grows, every stem has what are called growth nodes. And on a hibiscus, you may or may not see them, but they are there. If the stem swells just a little bit on one side, that's probably a node, but they're there even if you don't see them. So cut back the part that's really ratty looking and then fertilize. In the case of hibiscus that are established like this, I'm going to say use a fertilizer that you mix in water that is a balanced fertilizer. That means it's going to have NPK and equal numbers, might be 20-20-20, might be 10-10-10, whatever, but that they're going to be equal numbers. And you're going to mix that particular one in water. It's also going to have trace elements in that mix because it will be a complete fertilizer. Complete and balanced are two different things. Complete means that it has the first three, the big ones, but it also has the minor elements. And in the case of your hibiscus, it needs all of that to get started again. So fertilize it. Then probably look for some new growth in a couple of weeks, if not sooner. You may have to do a little bit more pruning, but you can feed it as often as every other week to push that new growth out. You'll get some flowers in the summer. So it's an easy plant to rejuvenate. I don't think you'll have a problem with that. I really don't think I think that will work out well. I like it very, very much. I'm a big fan of hibiscus. I have one to cut back now, too. Well, you know, there's some other stuff that goes on all the time in this world. And one of my very, very favorite things is amber. It's such a mystery. Got to talk about that today. Did you know we have a turquoise pit viper now? We didn't have that before. We have that. It's a new thing. But don't you worry. We'll be right back.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
Planning a home improvement project? Don't let your dream renovation become a nightmare. Before you hire any contractor, remember these three essential steps. Ask to see their current state license, check their insurance coverage, and always get at least three written estimates. Visit MSBOC.us to verify credentials and review complaints. Your home deserves a licensed professional because when it comes to construction, cutting corners could cost you everything. Call the Mississippi State Board of Contractors or go to MSBOC.us to learn more. A message from the
My doctor's office.
Turn it up, a little bit higher. Radio, turn it up, so you know. Radio.
That's what it means. Thank you, Van. Appreciate that. I've never been to Cambodia. I've always wanted to go to Cambodia, but I've never been to Cambodia. This is new adaptations, new critters found adapted to life in dark caves. I'm fascinated. I don't know if that's where I would want to go if I was in Cambodia. I'm not much on dark caves, you know. In Mississippi, much less.
You don't go spelunking in Cambodia.
I'm not much of a spelunker, but I'm really glad that these folks did, because these things are beautiful. The team at Fauna and Flora are the ones who did all of this. The biodiversity there's a flying snake. There's a beautiful, beautiful, prettiest turquoise. Looks like a southwestern belt buckle. Magnificent color turquoise snake. This is a pit viper, the whole species. They have to name them because there's several different ones, but they're just beautiful. Golden tree snakes, those are the ones that fly, was found there. And I don't know what they're going to do. There's those new micro snails that are bright, probably poisonous millipedes. You know, we found a bunch of things there. This is all in northwestern Cambodia. But these dark habitats are dependent upon guano-driven ecosystems, which is a term that I have not been able to bring to you before because I didn't know it existed. Guano, of course, is the term for bat manure. So the bats live here, and the bats fertilize the place, and all these other things live on what grows as a result from there. I think we're going to have to get a chorus line for the Geico Gecko. We have new geckos. Listen to these names. Bent-toed gecko. Slender gecko. And, of course, the Battenberg leaf gecko.
Oh, okay.
I love that. They'll be all out there dancing, carrying on.
And they'll get him some buddies, you know.
I'm serious. He'll have some friends. He won't be so lonely anymore. But these were all just reported this month, March of 2026. If you think there's nothing new in the world, become a scientist. Particularly become an explorative something in wildlife, any field you particularly care for, could be plants, could be animals, could be, in the case of some things, some of this really crazy stuff we've got to tell you about today. I don't even know if I want to tell you or not, but I probably should. We've got some interesting pretty interesting things going on in this crazy world of ours. I don't think I can do this without laughing. Let's move on. I'll come back to that. Yes, good coffee, that's true, but we also know about the sorts of coffee that come from Cambodia, and you're not going to get me to weigh into that one, but that's too funny. Too funny. There's the magnificent, you've seen the plant that's called the tractor seat plant. If I say the name, I won't get it right, but it's anyway, they truly, the leaves are big and round and do look like the seat of an old-fashioned tractor. You can't sit on them. But there's a similar shape, that tufted, you know, one thing that's got a tight center on one side and then the leaf expands out from it, but not in a circle. We're looking at another growth that does that. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, we don't know yet, it is growing on the walls of the Chernobyl disaster. This is a fungus. This is a fungus that apparently has not only survived and adapted, but appears to be thriving. And it is quite lovely. It's scary to me. But the ionizing radiation that lingers inside of this structure may be actually what is giving this thing such great life. It's a cladosporum. That's not rare, but this one is. This dark pigment, the melanin that's in it, is what may allow it to harness the radiation and grow on it. Now, obviously, this would be a great move forward if we could figure out ways to study it that didn't turn around and make people sicker or something like that. But they believe that it's harnessing ionizing radiation in kind of the same way as plants photosynthesize. In other words, it's taking in one thing and putting out another, which allows it to grow. And so they call this radiosynthesis. And that's your word of today. You may throw it out at the dinner table tonight. Someone say, what is radiosynthesis? And people will look at you as if you have been listening to the Garden Mama Show. Because who else is going to tell you this? Nobody. But it is beautiful. So when you see it and hear people talk about it, nobody's been able to figure out why it does this. And I do love a good mystery. When the first team, interestingly enough, was led by a microbiologist named Nelly Zadanova of Ukraine. And we still don't know why this is happening, but why it can grow there. But it sure is pretty, and it sure is growing, the Chernobyl fungus. Fascinating stuff. Just crazy, crazy stuff. We talked about the nutrients in the bees. Somebody sent me a note and said, what are you talking about, bees and nutrients? I said, well, it's because bees do eat. I mean, you know, it's like everything else. You got to have a system that is nutritious for them. And that, in turn, it gives us the opportunity to do some other experiments and looking around a little bit, see what else we can find. So I'm all for that. All right, I'm going to try again to do this study because I thought it was funny.
You got it together now.
Yeah, I do. You know, there are places in the world, I think about mail order brides, that was such a thing. There were places where there were lots of men and no women, the wild, wild west, quote unquote, other places, but that's probably the classic story. And there were men who wanted to start families and you know, have their future be in places where there were no women, because the women hadn't explored there yet. So they began to have a thing called mail order brides. Well, I have occasionally in my life thought that would be the place for someone who is, frankly, like me, not the cutest. You know, you have to kind of have a particular point of view to get along with most people. But I don't think I could have gotten on a train to go meet somebody I never met. It's like those shows they have now, you know, you're married overnight and that kind of stuff. No, I'm not doing that. Well, guess what? They may have to do this in this particular turtle population because the female tortoises of the island of Golemgrond in North Macedonia are outnumbered like 20 to 1 by the males. They can't get away. They are jumping off the cliffs. Well, turtles don't jump, but they are walking off the cliffs to their certain death because they can't keep going. So they feel that the last female will be gone by 2083. That's ridiculous. They need to figure out a way. Get some of those male turtles someplace else to live, or bring them some mail order brides, or do something. Come on, this is crazy.
So there's just way too many males for the females, and the females are like, we're out.
Yeah, they have, because they're surrounded, the videos that they are literally surrounded. They can't move because there's so many male turtles trying to come for them.
Hmm.
Now, I grant you that reproduction is all part of nature, but we got to figure this one out. We got to figure this one out.
Yeah, something's going on there.
They've been working on this for 16 years. You'd think they'd have figured it out by now.
I like the bridge over there at Bovina.
Exactly. When are they going to finish these things?
Make some progress here.
Let's do something. Come on.
The lady turtles are like hoping you'll figure this out.
Well, exactly. I mean, I'm sure they're all over social media. You know, if you have a male turtle, bring them here, because we got plenty of opportunity. I mean, a female turtle, bring them here. Let's see. I don't know. I don't know, Crosby. I don't know the answer to this. But I will tell you that I was.
Yeah,
listening.
We actually covered that yesterday.
Did you? Okay. Well, I hadn't heard about that. I missed you.
They'll never pull it up, basically, you know, like uncovered.
Ah.
But it's apparently right next to the other
ground
one, buried
producing
in
radar or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They use LIDAR.
Oh, okay.
I think Zarya Wass.
I don't think they're,
you know, the Egyptian antiquities crew probably.
Yeah.
We're not going to let them dig it up, but it's there.
That's interesting. Fascinating.
And what a great name,
Crosby. I was just listening to an interview with Bobby Whitlock this morning, too, by the way. So Crosby will appreciate that. That's all that family.
You were listening to some good music this morning.
I was up early and listening to a lot of stuff. I will confess, I don't go down rabbit holes of information, but I do go down rabbit holes of music from time to time, and this morning was one of those. Absolutely.
Get a bunch of help wanted signs. Stick them up around
the
island.
I'm telling you, we need a social media campaign here. We need something. Come on, help
the
these
girls
out.
Let's help these girls out.
And they're beautiful turtles. I mean, that'd be terrible if we lost them because of this, because they are absolutely beautiful. Gorgeous, gorgeous things. Oh, my. Oh, speaking of things on a stick, is there something on a stick today?
Yeah,
today,
a turtle today, on a stick, huh?
No, today is Eskimo Pie Day.
One of my favorite treats as a child.
That one was developed in 1920 and was originally called the ice cream for ice cream bar. But needless to say, they had to remark it after a certain point. Probably got a little loud. But it's interesting. The young customer was trying to choose between the chocolate bar and the ice cream bar. So they had to make and I do like cookies and ice cream. So why wouldn't you do that? This was from Mr. Nelson. And that was apparently with Edie's, E-D-Y, the ice cream company that you'll hear different places. But the ice cream bars went away and became something else, became the Eskimo pies. But he actually, they patented it. And guess who his business partner was? Russell C. Stover, the candy guy.
Stover, yeah.
It was a great mix, you know.
He knew how to, you know, get a guy in the right stead with his lady.
I'll
give you a box of these chocolates. You go get a rose. You're good to go, buddy.
It's going to work.
Yeah, it's going to work. Don't just bring her a bag of stuff. I got this pretty box for you. It's going to be perfect.
And as we all know, sometimes the boxes is intriguing for longer. So that's a good one. That's fun. Really fun stuff. Good day in the world of science news. Talking about taking care of some fruit trees and whatnot. If you want to give somebody a gift this year, give them a kumquat tree in a beautiful big pot. No matter where you live, you may have to give them a hand truck to go with it, but you can be sure that you will be able to keep that one. Excuse me. It is the hardiest of the citrus, and you do have choices. You have oval fruit, you have round fruit, you have some that are sweeter than others, some that are tartar, and that it's just a beautiful tree, and it's one that everybody enjoys. And some years, and you don't even have to take it into the garage, but when it does get cold and you take it in the garage, it's fine there because it can tolerate temperatures below 40, unlike most of our other citrus that are not so happy with that. And many of them are not so happy with that, that's for true. There's the zombie tree. I had two people send me a note and said, okay, you got to tell us the zombie tree story. So let me do that right quick before we get run over by the time here. University of Queensland. This is a newly identified Australian tree. Okay, so this is not something that has been on Netflix. You know, this is not something we're bringing out of the vault here.
It's not true crime.
No, but it's a reference in my head, probably only my head, to the discussion that we had a couple of weeks ago about the plants that are invaded by the insects, but then the insects, because they cause the fruit to fall off, also cause the tree to reproduce. Okay, so the two things work together. In this case, it's the other way around. The zombie tree is alive, but it is unable to reproduce. This is due to a disease called myrtle rust, and it repeatedly kills the new growth, just kills the new growth. So there's no future. There's no flowering. There's no seeds. And needless to say, they're propagating this thing from disease-free locations in the same way that we do. I don't know, we that with black walnuts, we certainly do that with other trees that we would like to save that have been invaded. People are doing this with bananas all over the place, of course, trying to get stock that is not compromised. And in this case, they're going to be able to help us do this, we hope. They think they're going to be able to bring this species back. But it's so unusual in the natural world for there to be something like rust that actually kills its host. Because where are you going to go now? You know, we often say, people will say, well, mistletoe is such a parasite. It's only a parasite if it goes too far, but actually what it is a thing that takes energy out of the plant that it's living on, but it's got to have that plant to live on. So, interesting stuff. Turns out your hair doesn't grow the way you thought, Lance. I'm going to have to tell you about
no
that.
No doubt. Thank you.
I'm going to have to tell you about that. We're going to talk about leafy leaves. We're going to talk about a tree here in a little bit. Meanwhile, warm up your coffee. We'll be right back.
I think mama's choking from the smell of stale perfume. And the cigarette you're smoking about to scare me half to death. Open up the window, let me catch my breath. Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come. She said, that ain't no way to have fun, son. That ain't no way to have fun, son, son, son.
Please do not ever use gas appliances for purposes for which they're not intended. A gas oven should never be used for heating purposes. Never store flammable materials inside. The Mississippi Propane Gas Association takes pride in keeping your home or business protected. Thus, we are providing you with this important safety information regarding the use and storage of propane. Our dealers participate in the industry's best practices for propane usage and promote consumer safety education. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit mspropane.com.
For decades, Mississippi Land Bank has been rooted in relationships in North Mississippi, such as helping young farmers get started, like Watson Turnip Seed in Sumner.
My farming entity is Watson Planting Company, LLC. I started it in 2022 and had my first crop year shortly thereafter. I linked up with the Mississippi Land Bank for all of my operating loans. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
At Mississippi Land Bank, we're here to help you get started, too. Visit us at mslandbank.com.
My name is Whitney Allen, and
tickling those ivories.
Ah, yes. The Hammond B3 could be in that retinue as well, but then you'd need somebody to move it because they're heavy. Wonderful music. Thank you, Lance. Queen Mary University of London is letting us know, like so many things, what we learned about how hair grows turns out not to be how hair grows. I just love this. How many of us have, we'd use all those expressions, I'm going to pull my hair out over this, you know, I'm going to do this or do that. Well, it turns out your hair is kind of doing that on its own. We have always believed and been taught, and people have shown us, that hair grows out from the root. It's pushed out from the root. Well, actually, when you get down on that bit deeper level, that micro level, the moving cells inside that hair follicle actually pull the hair up through it and out. It's not the way we thought. It's not that the root is pushing them straight through the shaft and out. It's that there's actually stuff in that follicle that are causing it to be pulled out. So now we're going to have new products that are going to say stimulate your follicles. You know what I mean? We're going to have a whole new retinue of things to help you grow your hair, I'm sure. May or may not have any reality to it. But in this particular case, it is L'Oreal research. So you can bet there's going to be products. And Queen Mary University, they did this with 3D live imaging. Think how long it took to set this up, to be able to observe individual cells living inside human hairs. So amazing. So amazing. Love, love, love this. The cells in the outer root sheath, the layer that encases the hair shaft, move along a spiral path downward within the same region where the upward pulling force is generated. So in other words, it's push me, pull you.
Kind of like, okay, a black hole.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So everything does, everything on Earth that we always talk about, everything is related. Everything basically follows the same physics or the same, you know, the same rules in that regard. But it's a pretty far-fetched thing. I really do love it. I think it's delightful.
So basically you just need to have a helmet with a bunch of magnets pulling
maybe
your
so.
Hair
maybe
up.
That's
yeah. So
it.
All this light
maybe
therapy
it.
And all this stuff. You well, just need a bunch of magnets.
We probably do. And now that we understand soil food web and the way the roots grow towards their food sources and it forms a new thing, we're going to have to understand that life inside the hair follicle is different than we thought, too. Just doesn't work like we originally thought. Corinne, hey there, good morning, says her vervain has spread like crazy. If I dig it up and put it in containers, should they do well? Yeah, don't dig all of it up, just in case it doesn't work. But you should be able to cut that back and dig it up and get it going without any trouble. It's a nice plant, but it does spread. It's a busy plant. That is for true. Yeah, put suction cups
yeah,
in there.
Actually, that's funny that he mentions that, because when I lived down in Mexico, the family I lived with, he was an orthodontist, but the boyfriend of one of the daughters went to this clinic thing, and he was kind of losing his hair, and the girl, one of the daughters, worked there. So, but what it was like a hair clinic, and they used a suction, like it was basically like putting a vacuum cleaner device
they may
on
have been
your
ahead
head
of their time.
Yeah, man, they were pulling the blood up. I remember them trying to explain it, because I was like, what are you doing? I never heard of it in the States, you know. It was totally unique but yeah, it makes total sense.
Well,
like a plunger.
We all tried, and everybody tries different things always.
You know, if you see me walking around with a plunger on my head, you'll know what we're doing here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Andrew.
I love this. I have a red leafy tree in my yard, but no idea what it is. Red leaves look similar to red oaks, but the trunk and limbs look similar to a crepe myrtle. In other words, it's not a huge tree. It's a medium-sized tree. If the leaves are five-fingered, it's Japanese maple. If they're a little bit closer to oak in that they are long and narrower, but not skinny, but long and narrower, it could easily be a red maple. Those are also red at this time of the year. It could be something that comes out red and turns green later. Could be, you know, if you got a loropetalum tree, it would do that. And certainly some of the purple leaf plums will do that. They'll be purple when they first come out, but then later on they're more like green. So those would be some suggestions that might help. That might help. So we're going to let Andrew grow you some hair. And talking about getting
I'd be unstoppable with a head full of hair. That's why the Lord challenged me. He's like, I need to keep you down, brother. Be too much for the world.
I've never heard anybody say that.
Be too much for this world with a head full of hair.
Well, it's quite much. I'm not going to deny. I mean, well, it could be. Yeah, I don't know. This is another good one. If you can take the babies out from under an aloe vera, you're better off than trying to actually divide the plant. You can just lift those babies out, because the middle one will get big and fill the pot, and that's what she's concerned about. So, yes, I would do that. That's great. Good idea. Real good idea. Y'all are just full of fun today. This has been just a blast. Spring always is busy, but today has been particularly busy. I don't know if y'all know about horsetail plants, if y'all have ever seen those. I've talked about them here before, because they're one of the things that will grow where your house, your brick house meets your concrete driveway. if one gets started in that seam, it will fill the whole thing. I mean, these things don't need, they basically grow in air. Then they're pretty rampant. Don't put them in the pond. You know, you want to put them in the pot on the side of the pond, but these are really, really crazy things. I did not know this about it. It is a 400-million-year-old plant. I did know that. University of New Mexico is letting us know, though, that the living horsetails like that actually act as distillation towers. They clean the water that they're in, but it's a bizarre oxygen isotope that we don't really, it produces water that's not the water we expect. Until we look at stuff, we don't know, do we? Tracing the isotopic shifts from the plant base all the way out to the tip, they have unlocked a new way to understand the humidity of that climate. It's just fascinating stuff. Modern plants and fossilized old ones to compare, and they're able to tell you a whole lot about that climate over the decades, over the century. Isn't that fun? That's so cool.
Hey, there was one interesting question from Andrew before we got out. He said he fell into a Venus flytrap, and I was like, uh-oh, and then he goes at Home Depot. Basically, he got one. Any success? I thought we were watching, like, what was it, the Rocky Horror Picture Show there for me?
Yeah.
But any success in Mississippi growing or keeping the Venus flytrap?
Sure, house plant. I mean, obviously porch plant in the summer, but what most people find is that, you know, it's like when you buy those little cactus that have the other cactus grafted on top of them. You'll see them at the same time in the garden center that you would see these plants and the Venus flytraps and things. They're unusual. They're novelties. And what we do is most of the time we overwater them. So give it a nice bright window but not direct sun, and don't let it dry out and don't overwater it. You'll have a plant for a long time. They're lovely. We do have native pitcher plants in that family, of course. Go to Crosby Arboretum, be able to see them. Speaking of cool things to go and do on a beautiful day, but it's a plant that's very nifty. It's just one that by the time we get them to the garden center like that, oftentimes you are looking at something that's been a little bit tortured, and you will have to give it some help. It won't kill the plant like the zombie tree. It's not going to do that. You'll be all right on that one. All right, one last little quick moment for you today. Today is Vietnam War Veterans Day, and I'm here because I was there. I'm here because I had a lot of experiences at that time, and I'm here to tell you that tomorrow's another bright, beautiful day. Get out and do some gardening. Get out and do some horticulture therapy for yourself, and I'll see you next week right here on the Garden Mama Show.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Hi, I'm Jake Mangum. A strong team means finding value. That's why you can always trust Farm Bureau to be there for you and your family. With more than 100 years of service and loyalty, our new Farm Bureau Health Plan offers affordable health care powered by the Blue Cross Blue Shield Network. Members have saved over 40% off their current ACA premiums. Get started today by contacting your local agent and seeing what plan works best for you. Time to go with the home team. Time to go with Farm Bureau.
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive safely.
For a flipping good
time. A SuperTalk Mississippi Media Production.